God, I thank you for being my father. And I thank you for your son. I thank you for your Holy Ghost, who unites us all as one.
Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am John Harvey with the Community Homeowners Group to present to you thought-provoking messages that will not only engage your heart, but will dispel age-old myths and unveil hidden truths that unfold the Word of God.
God, I thank you for being my
Today's testimony will be delivered by Lillian Hunt on the Lillian J. Hunt Aftercare and Learning Center.
Thank you. I am very happy today to be able to share with you some very important information about the Lillian J. Hunt Academy that has been, is, and will be a benefit to many youths of today. It is an academy with a youth-centered focus designed to educate and develop character through the performing arts. Many boys and girls today like to express themselves in different ways, and with a lack of experience and a lack of a sense of direction, they need someone and some place that will provide them with the opportunity to develop skills in their area of interest. The Academy is such a place. It is a place with trained and educated individuals that can lead and guide them so that they might be steered in the right direction or down the right path. The Lillian J. Hunt Academy is one that strives to meet the needs of individuals so that they might be successful, becoming a blessing to others as well. The Academy has been in operation for a few years, but in that short period of time, it has provided assistance to many boys and girls, as well as men and women in Florida, Georgia, and the Bahama Islands. It is spearheaded by one who will be receiving her doctorate degree in a few months, but has many years of experience in the educational system as a certified teacher and trainer of teachers, non-teachers, as well as boys and girls. As a matter of fact, she is a national board recipient. In the South Florida area, there is a tremendous need for external partners to support the effort to provide education. Low performance on standardized tests, budget cuts, loss of resources, the influx of second language learners, but some of the reasons why external partnerships are necessary in order to ensure the educational needs of the student learner. Therefore, the Academy also offers after-school programs and services that aid in the growth and development of the whole child or the individual. The Lillian J. Hunt After-School Educational Academy offers programs and services to the community designed to accomplish the following. Number one, foster community building through relationship management and education. Number two, provide consultation and financial assistance to families in crisis. Number three, develop strategies to provide scholarship opportunities for individuals seeking to further their education. Number four, provide support for families to explore entrepreneurial opportunities to start their own businesses. Number five, recruitment support and student retention and economic development. Number six, build learning communities centered on managing relations. Number seven, collaboration among the greater Miami communities and businesses. Number eight, develop product service oriented culture among participants. Number nine, expand the potential for scholarship opportunities for students. And number 10, pilot projects for entrepreneurial centers, and much, much more. So I hope the information I have shared with you today is very informative and that you will desire more information in the future. Thank you.
I can see clearly. feeling sweeter than honey candy and berries. Her love is everlasting, yeah, never ending. It's her that I lean on and I am depending. This is what it feels like, this is what it feels like. She's in my heart and teaching me how to do right. Cool, cause whenever I'm in school, she teaches me how to focus and study to make A's and B's. I made the honor roll and that is so outstanding. Goma's by my side and she's helping me with planning. Goma is a leader, she's the head of my crew. She tells me what to do, then I listen and follow through. She's on the sideline, guiding me just like a coach. She's front and center with the community building approach. This is what it feels like, she's in my heart and teaching me how to do right.
Introduce myself, when I wasn't doing good, Goma made me well. Whenever the enemy tried to make me feel like Microsoft, it made me excel. Plates never empty, cups overfilled. I'm so glad I'm doing his will. Whenever there's drama, my heart doesn't bother. He speaks a word, he says, peace be still. In the storm, in the rain, car, bus, bike, or plane, I love him, he feels the same. Close proximity, always in range. Everyone say they're seeing a change. Attitudes right, behavior's the same. Communication is on point, discipline is on the chain.
Clearly, whenever Goma's near me, the feeling sweeter than honey candy and berries. Her love is everlasting, yeah, never ending. It's her that I lean on and I am depending. This is what it feels like, this is what it feels like. She's in my heart and teaching me how to do right.
Today's message is being brought to you by Adrian Carter, entitled Abraham, the Father of the Faithful.
Grace and peace from God our Father. This is Adrian Carter with today's message. Today's message will unfold the revelation of Jesus Christ as it pertains to Abraham, his designation as Father of the Faithful, and also God's expectation of faith in a post-Abraham day. Today's message is Abraham, Father of the Faithful. Let us begin by understanding that all works done by God is a work of the Spirit. And in order for one to understand God, they must understand spiritual things. The scripture makes it clear now that something can only bring forth of its kind. Oranges can only bring forth oranges. Carnal things can only bring forth carnal things. And spiritual things can only bring forth spiritual things. And that's found in John 3 and 6. And in John 4 and 24, it says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The scripture does not only tell you how to worship God, but it clearly establishes that God is a spirit. What is worship? Worship can be defined as reverence, high regard, or great respect for an entity. But worship is also a form of communication. So restated, God is a spirit, and those that communicate to him must do so in spirit and in truth. Before understanding Abraham, you must first understand God the Father who chose Abraham. For in God's choosing, God chose Abraham for a spiritual work. God chose Abraham to demonstrate God's faithfulness toward redeeming mankind back unto himself. I'll repeat, God chose Abraham for spiritual work, and that spiritual work was to demonstrate God's faithfulness toward redeeming mankind back unto himself. As Jesus was the vehicle through whom Christ, the Son of God, presented himself as a living sacrifice in the New Testament in John 3 and 16. Abraham represented God in the Old Testament, a father willing to sacrifice his son in Genesis 22. And in so doing, God honored Abraham as the father of many nations. But who can disagree that God is the father of us all? In this, we see the symbolism of Abraham as father and his son Isaac when understanding that his role foreshadowed God's sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, many of us are familiar with that. We understand that foreshadowing, where Abraham went to sacrifice his son. And it foreshadowed the sacrifice that God was going to do of his son, Jesus Christ. But in order for Abraham to receive such an honor, the honor of foreshadowing God's redemptive work and thereby becoming the father of many nations, Abraham had to first believe God. And that's what we want to talk about, is the faith that Abraham had in believing God. But we have first established that Abraham's role is spiritual. God works by way of the Spirit. His way of communicating to him is by the Spirit. And we are now going to look at the faith that God talks about that Abraham has. And what does that faith mean for us today? In order, again, for Abraham to receive such an honor, the honor of foreshadowing God's redemptive work and thereby becoming the father of many nations, Abraham had to first believe God. I have a question for you. What means did Abraham have to measure the voice of God? Who was this voice that Abraham would hear and act on? Abraham had to operate by faith, which led to the revelation of God, the revelation of spiritual things. Again, I'm going to repeat that. In a time when no Bible existed, what means did Abraham have to measure the voice of God? Abraham had to operate by faith. Abraham first believed and then received. The story of Abraham opens up in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham acting on faith with a directive from God. God said to him, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Again, in a time where there was no Bible, we have accounts of God appearing and speaking to Abraham. And Abraham had to demonstrate faith in order for the promise of God to be manifested through him. And those promises were very specific promises that were made to Abraham by God. In Genesis 12 and 3, God spoke to him and said, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now in Genesis 15 and 5, he continues the promises. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the stars, and thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." In Genesis 17 and 5, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." Genesis 17, 5th verse through the 7th verse. Abraham's faith is further tested as he is called to sacrifice his son, birthed of him and Sarah, Isaac. Again, God speaks to Abraham by way of an angel in Genesis 22, the 15th through the 18th verse. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Those are a lot of promises. Those are a lot of promises that God made unto Abraham. And Abraham did not have a reference point. He did not have a textbook. Abraham had to demonstrate his belief in the Lord, that God was going to fulfill the promises, that God is saying to him the things that he's going to do. Much of organized religion preaches Abraham as the benchmark of faith. But in all of this believing that Abraham had to do, God has actually called us to a faith that is higher than that of Abraham's. Much of organized religion preaches Abraham as the benchmark of faith. But that is not so. Abraham's faith was demonstrated at the first and second levels of faith. The first level of faith is like unto Thomas, who said he would not believe that Jesus Christ had risen until he saw the nail prints in Jesus Christ's hands in John 20th chapter and the 25th verse. The second level of faith is defined by Jesus Christ himself in verse 29 when he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Both levels of faith can be seen with Abraham. In instances, Abraham believed as God spoke. In other instances, such as bearing a child when stricken in age, God had to remind Abraham of the promise. God spoke, Abraham believed. God manifested the work. And sometimes God demonstrated his power to Abraham in order to encourage his faith. So Abraham did not always believe. When you read the story, God had to continue to remind Abraham, because why? Abraham was looking on the outside at the inability of Sarah to be able to birth a child. She's stricken in age, he said. She laughed at the angel when he spoke and said that she would bear a child. There was a demonstration of a lack of faith. And so God had to constantly build and remind Abraham. To what? To believe on the Lord. So Abraham was not believing despite what he saw. He had to always be reminded of the necessity to maintain the faith in God. But the greater act of faith occurred through Jesus Christ, who was not the symbolic act of redemption, but the actual redeeming work. So let me ask you, which requires greater faith? The symbolism of Abraham believing in God to the point of being willing to sacrifice his son, or being the son of God, knowing that you will be separated from the Father through death? A faith greater than Abraham's faith existed in Jesus Christ, who was not the symbolic work of things to come, but the actual sacrifice God made. Jesus Christ looked in the cup and asked for it to be taken away from him in Luke, the 22nd chapter and the 42nd verse. But said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Not my will, but yours be done. And in that statement of nevertheless came the greatest act of faith known to man. When Jesus Christ said, "Nevertheless," the greatest act of faith known to man occurred, because he said, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." And God's will was that his son should die. And death is not a physical thing. Death is separation because of sin. And God was now going to impute all sin of mankind's sin unto Jesus Christ. And Christ will now have to die for the remission of man's sins, and then God will pull him back out of hell. But he'll come back out with the keys and freeing all those that were captive. But Jesus Christ had to get to a place where he said, "Nevertheless." And that was the greatest act of faith. He had to trust that his Father would and will deliver him from the death that was inescapable. Imagine if Jesus Christ did not believe. Imagine where we would be had he said, "Man, I can't do this. I just looked in that cup. That's a whole lot of stuff that I don't want to have to endure. Abraham didn't have that test. Abraham did not have to overcome at that level. Abraham was symbolism. He was symbolic of what was to come. Jesus Christ is what happened. When you are faced with the actuality of a matter versus the symbolism of a matter, that's two different stories. But Abraham is the story of the Father's willingness to redeem man. And Jesus Christ is the actual redemptive work that God processed that whole thing through. And therein, nevertheless, lies a greater faith. The greater act of faith occurred through Jesus Christ, who was not the symbolic act of redemption, but the actual redeeming work. The fact is, when Jesus died, he also died for Abraham's sin. For although Abraham's faith was imputed unto him for all righteousness in Romans 4:8, Abraham was birthed from the bloodline of the fallen state of man through Adam's sin. And everybody, from the time Adam sinned up until Jesus Christ died on that cross, was sin before God. God may have graced Abraham. God selected him. And God worked through many, many people up until the point of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ died on that cross, the scripture reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So what? So that none should perish. It's at that time that God redeemed man back unto himself through the sacrificial lamb. Abraham did not have that role or that responsibility. So when Jesus Christ died, Abraham's sin was redeemed. Even Abraham needed Jesus Christ to die for the remittance of his sins. Abraham was birthed from the bloodline of the fallen state of man through Adam's sin, making Abraham in need of a savior. Jesus Christ was also Abraham's savior. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ ushered in the Holy Ghost and speaking of tongues as seen in Acts 2:1. It also established who the church is subject to, Jesus Christ, as it is written in Ephesians 5:24. And it says, "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And therein became the parallel relationship that man became subject to Christ as the wife is to the husband. So you see the resemblance of that bride and groom relationship. The church, I repeat, is subject to Christ, not Abraham. Therefore, the faith of the church must be like unto Jesus Christ, a faith greater than Abraham's faith. Peace be.
The word of
Just Heard has been developed from many revelations found in the Little Book series, The Law of Natural Anointing, which Jesus, Heavenly Messages for Overcoming Death, authored by Dr. Daryl G. Hunt. A copy of today's recording is available upon request by contacting ICB Productions via email at icbproductions@aol.com or via their website at www.icbproductions.net. We welcome you to review this website as it contains a wonderful collection of testimonies and teachings purposed to sustain your spirit as you meditate, pray, and study His Word in your quiet time before the Lord. We pray you have been edified by the words spoken on this day and that your heart is inclined to want to know more. On behalf of the Community Homeowners Group, we'd like to thank you for sharing your time with us and look forward to the next time we shall be gathered again. May the Lord's grace and peace be with you.